John chapter 9. And as he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and applied the clay to his eyes, said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which translates sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, Is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, This is he. So others were saying, No, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. Therefore they were saying to him, How then were your eyes open? He answered, The man who was called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. And they said to him, Where is he? And he said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also were asking him how he received his sight. And he said to them, He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. They said, therefore, to the blind man again, What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. The Jews, therefore, did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight, and questioned them, saying, Is this your son? Now you say who was born blind, then how does he now see? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he shall speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And for this reason his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner. He therefore answered, Whether he is a sinner I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said therefore to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? And they reviled him and said to him, You are his disciple, we were disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? And they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered and said, And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said to him, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, for that those who do not see may see, and those who may see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, We are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sins remain. Amen. Amen. It's interesting that John spends a huge amount of time on just this one incident that happens. Is quite rare in the Gospels, right, where they'll actually spend a whole chapter discussing a miracle. But this goes in line with kind of John's purpose, right? He's using the issue of signs, right? Remember, we talked about this a long time ago. The Samaria is using the signs to actually illustrate a bigger thing. You know, and that's really what signs are meant for, right? You know, when you're driving, you know, you see the sign. The sign is not a destination, but the sign points you to the destination. And so when Jesus is doing these miracles, right, it's the sign, right? But the sign is just the sign, okay? The destination is what Jesus is trying to do behind the sign, or what he's trying to say or communicate to the people through the act of the miracle or the sign and wonder or whatever it may be. And so he heals this man born blind, but what's his main point? He's saying, I am the light of the world. You know, he's talking about, you know, a blindness, but I mean, we figured out already that he's talking about more than a physical blindness, right? Most of this chapter, he's talking about a spiritual blindness. You know, and the key with the blindness, you know, physically you're blind and you know it, okay? You can't see. But spiritually, you could be blind and yet think you can see. And because you think you can see, thus solidifies the fact that you're blind. I know it's like, what? What did I just say? That's the point. You know, and so he gets to this thing, and he's a man born blind. Now, this is a very important point for us to understand. It's talks about the creativity of the miracle, but also it's a commentary on Israel. In the sense that, you know, he's talking historically, the blindness of Israel continue on. And so this is important, the man born blind. In this case, this man never saw. You know, and, you know, some commentaries have said that really significant miracle. It wasn't like, you know, he had cataracts, you know, and as an old age, right, you don't see as well. You know, I actually went to the optometrist yesterday and checked my eyes, right, and I think I have 6 more months, he said, before I start needing to wear glasses, you know, which is, if you know, that's a huge blow to me, but it had nothing to do with this thing. And things, so it's not one of those kind of things, right? It's not like you get old and your eyes get bad and that's the case. This guy is born blind. Most likely, he probably didn't even have eyeballs, you know? So I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, like where someone is just very white, you know, which is very common with people that are born blind, you know, in this way. And so it's talking about the creativity of this miracle. So let's look at a few points here, okay? The first question they ask, and this is a good teaching for us to understand tragedy, to understand brokenness, to understand hardship, right? And especially us in the Western world, we have such a limited idea and understanding of suffering. And so here's this man that's brought before, you know, before the Lord, and disciples, you know, walk by and they're saying, "Hey, Jesus, who messed up that this guy should be in this condition?" Right? I mean, that's a very valid question. We ask that sometimes, right? You know, someone, you know, maybe loses their job, loses their girlfriend, you know, parents get sick. You know, like, you know, one thing after another happens, and I know what a lot of us are thinking, like, oh man, is this guy like sinning really bad? You know, this guy must have lost all favor with God. You know, and the interesting thing is, you know, actually it's probably not the case at all. And he says it's neither this man's sin, it wasn't a generational sin, right? It was that God is going to display his works through this person here. You know, you have to understand God has got a very bigger picture behind everything. You know, in this world, right, he says you will have tribulation, right? You know, we'll read this later on in the book of John. It says in this world you will have tribulation. Difficult things will happen to us in this world. In fact, all who desire to live godly, Paul says, will be persecuted. Right? And so, if you really take the biblical idea, right, of being righteous, right, of being holy, right, you know, of being godly and all these things, you know what's attached to that? It's persecution. It's not blessing. You know, it's not just favor. It's not, and all those things are happening. But see, one thing that we in the Western world, we don't understand the purpose of suffering. It has incredible purpose. God doesn't want us to suffer in that way, but suffering comes to us because we're in a fallen world. You know, and God has purposes through the suffering. You know, and so here's this man. Things are happening, right? You know, living quite a miserable existence in a certain way. You know, it says it's not because of his sin. It's not because of his parents' sin. It's not a generational thing, right? It's that in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. You know, and what he's talking about in this, he's talking about redemption, right? You think about it this way. The theme of the whole of the scriptures, the Old Testament, is the redemptive works of God. I mean, if you want to put a title on the whole of the Old Testament, you can just call it the redemptive works of God, and you can add it through the nation Israel. The New Testament is the redemptive works of God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so we're talking about the issue of redemption, right? You cannot have redemption unless there's brokenness or fallenness. You know what I mean? You know, that is the human condition. And so when we're talking about this idea that the works of God might be displayed in him, the way that operates in this place is because there is fallenness, because there is redemption. All have fallen, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? This is human condition, but God has redeemed us. And in the redemption is the glory of God is displayed. And so we see this manifested, right? The key to this, verse 5, well, I am in the world. That's what he says. I am the light of the world. It doesn't matter if you're blind, right? Jesus is saying, because of me, now you can see. And so this is, people say they really understand Jesus. I don't think so. Jesus is crazy, man, right? I mean, you think about it in this context. Here he says, he makes this incredible spiritual pronouncement. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I mean, you can imagine the drama in this, you know. And what does he do? The next thing he does, right? He spits on the ground, right? He grabs, right, the spit and the mud, puts it into his hand, and he places it on the guy's eyes. I mean, you're talking about germs, right? I mean, that's pretty dirty, right? Puts it on the guy's eyes. And so there's an act of God. But one thing you'll know about miracles and these things, there's always an act of faith, right, that is a response of the people. And so the act of God, he makes a spittle. You know, I mean, I don't know what he's thinking, right? He must have his reasons for this, you know. And, you know, I mean, if someone came up for healing, you know, let's say the well, you know, Sunday, someone came up and says, oh, you know, I've got, you know, a problem with my ear or something, right? And someone spit in their hand and put their loogie in their ear, that'd be pretty disgusting. That's what Jesus would do, right? In fact, he actually did it himself, right? He popped someone's ear like that, you know? And so he comes up, and then, so he acts, and then he expects an act of faith on your side, right? It always works in conjunction. You know, I was in Korea this past weekend for the wedding, and I was speaking at a church, and I ran into this girl, you know, and she actually, I mean, this is years and years and years ago when I went to go speak at a retreat with NYU and Columbia students, you know, out in the Poconos, and she happened to come to this retreat, and she had a sprained ankle. You know, she was, I don't know if she was on crutches or she was hobbling around. And so, you know, we used to spend a lot of time praying for the sick, you know, back in those days. And so I asked her to come up, you know, it's a word of knowledge. I asked her to come up and pray for her ankle, right? And she, you know, I asked her, how does it feel, right? You know, I'm into instant gratification, right? If I pray, I want an immediate answer. And so, how's your ankle? She says, oh, she's like this shocked look. Oh, you know, it actually feels really good. The pain is gone. I said, praise God, go have a seat, you know? And then she kind of was walking back, and then, you know, she just kind of came back up. She goes, yeah, it actually hurts again. You know, and in her own words, she says all this doubt started coming into her mind, like, I can't really be healed. This is like crazy. You know, God doesn't do this kind of stuff. And so she came back up to the front, and so I prayed for her again. And I said, okay, now let's really deal with this thing, you know, this unbelief. And so we prayed for her again, and this time I wanted an act of faith on her part, right? Because now it was just me, right? It was just my faith, you know, operating in here. And now I wanted her, so I asked her, you know, and maybe not the wisest thing, but I said, I want you to stomp your feet as hard as you can right now. You know, and she had this look like, oh, that's going to hurt. And I said, stomp your feet as hard as you can, right? And she started stomping her feet and no pain, right? And it was, you know, this is issue of, you know, there's faith maybe of the person praying, but there's always faith required of the person receiving. You know, somewhat. And for her, the stomping of her feet, you know, was her act of faith, where kind of the two roads kind of met together. You know, in this way, when Jesus is ministering, you know, we have this picture, right, where he makes the clay, right, as he moves in his act of faith, right, God moves, and then he expects us to move as well. And says, I want you to go to the pool, right, wash in the pool, you know, and you know, I mean, really, if you think about it, it's not such a bad suggestion, since he just made, you know, mud and, you know, yeah, maybe you should go to the fountain and you know, and take care of this issue, right? But there's always, right, a transaction. You got to remember this. Prayer, listen, prayer is a spiritual transaction that's taking place, right? When we pray for others and minister to people, it's a spiritual transaction taking place, right? It's not money, you know, or things that are being exchanged. What's being exchanged? Faith, favor, blessing. You know, there's a transaction that's taking place. You know, when we minister to people, when I'm preaching a message or giving a devotional, there's a spiritual transaction taking place. You know, I'm giving the teaching, you know, and whatnot, but there's also a part that you play where you receive the word. You know, and it doesn't mean that you receive everything that I say, but in the sense that you're open to the Spirit speaking to us and convicting us during this time. You know, that's why, you know, we can be in church and we can have the two identical people. You know, one person will have a heart open to God and will receive and receive and receive. And the other person in the transaction will have a heart close to the Lord, and they'll just be like, you just wasted an hour just sitting there listening. You guys understand what I'm saying? Right? There's always a transaction that takes place. You know, and so when we talk about miracles or signs or, you know, in Jesus moving, you got to recognize the transaction that's happening. Right? That there's an exchange. Right? And so he goes and washes, right? And then you get into this huge discourse with the Pharisees and, you know, and this man, you know, like, I imagine, right, that this man, he's born blind, he's a beggar. I imagine that he's not the most educated person. You know what I mean? And stuff, but yet, man, his arguments are profound, right? I mean, the things that he says, I mean, he's actually giving these guys like very, very, very good Old Testament theology, right? He says that, you know, God does not hear sinners, right? And you know, We know that if anyone is God-fearing, does his will, he hears him. You know, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Right? He, you know, I mean, just time and time again, you know, he's talking about these really good theological issues, and he is trumping these Pharisees who've studied theology, studied Talmud, right, their whole life. And you know, which is true. Do you remember, you know, when Jesus will tell the church later on, right? And Paul reiterate, he says, when they send you before your accusers, don't be afraid of what to say, right? Don't worry about what to say. Because in that moment, the Holy Spirit will give you the words, right? And it's really true. You know, you look time and time again at the uneducated, you know, guys like, you know, like the disciples, James and John in the book of Acts. And how they trumped all these things. Remember, even the Pharisees and the leaders said, hey, aren't these guys uneducated, untrained? But where do they get this wisdom? You know, and they recognize, oh, they had been with Jesus, right? You know, I mean, that's really the key, right, is they had been with Jesus. This man had spent just a little bit of time with Jesus, you know, and you talk about the wisdom of the ages, coming down, and in this discourse, right, with these religious figures, he just annihilates them. You know what I mean? Uses their own argument, their own reason, and own logic, and he dismantles, you know, everything that they're saying. And I mean, just really profound. And so that they don't know what to do. And you'll notice throughout the scriptures, when the Pharisees don't know what to do, they just get angry. Right, that's really happens with a lot of people. Right, you don't know what to do; you just get angry. They put him out of the temple. Jesus hears about this. Right, he heard that they put him out. This is the heart and compassion of the Lord. Finds the man, and he asks this question: do you believe in the Son of Man? Right, and he answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" You know, in other words, yeah, you tell me who he is, and you know, and I'm there. It's the faith that's rising up within him. And he says, you've both seen him, and in fact, the one is talking to you right now. And look what he says, right? This is an important statement in verse 38. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus being a rabbi, right, a teacher, a good teacher, anyone that would bring worship upon himself, he would have to rebuke, right? Because only God gets the glory. And what happens? He worships him. And Jesus receives the worship, right? He's making a stake, a claim to his deity right now, right? He receives, you know, same thing happens in Thomas. Thomas says, oh, I'm not going to believe, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, what happens, right? He touches Jesus' side, and then he falls on his knees and says, oh, my God, my Lord, you know, and they start worshiping him, and he receives the worship. Right, thus claiming, right, that Jesus is now he's coming on the scene and he's saying, I am he, I'm God. right? You know, the doctrine of the Trinity is starting to be exposed to the rest of the world now during this time. So let's close our eyes. Let's think about this blind man. Have you ever heard the phrase, you know, when you think you know everything, it shows that you know nothing? There's something about when we deal with God, there's an issue of humility that has to come from each of us. You know, on this side of heaven, no one has perfect theology. And so we approach the scriptures humbly. The problem with the Pharisees is they felt like they knew everything. And yet Jesus and the blind man exposed that frailty that they knew nothing. And maybe because the blind man, he had a humble beginning existence. And Jesus met his needs. You know, I think it'd be quite good of us this morning to really reflect. Are we more like the Pharisees? Or more like this blind man? Do we think we got it all figured out? Do we walk around this planet thinking that we're the masters of the universe? Or are we really humble? When you're humble, you can receive from the Lord. The scriptures continually tell us the proud he keeps afar, but he gives grace to the humble. And so as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that. Meditate on this blind man, on this whole exchange taking place. Let's see how the Lord will speak to us about our own spiritual condition today.
Unto the Holy One, give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Well, let's spend a moment and let's just pray through this. And like the song says, let's continue to give thanks in all circumstances. And the good stuff in our lives, even the bad stuff that comes, right, that God has a plan of redemption in it. And let's pray for our community, as we know that there's many people that are suffering right now, you know, primarily through illness. Let's remember Charles's father. Let's remember Alex's father as well. Kian's mother. Let's remember Krista's aunt. Let's ask God to just help and bring his grace and over these families. Let's pray for Sarah Mao and her passing of her mom. Let's pray for the comfort of the Lord to come and meet with them. And others that you may know that are going through different types of difficulties. Let's pray that the redemptive works of God would flourish in their lives. Now let's pray together. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Nagoya. Let's particularly lift up Kenny Ye to the Lord. Let's pray for Thailand and for Rachel and her work and her projects that's going on. Let's pray for North Korea. Ask God to continue to open the doors. Pray for the persecuted church. Lift up Chris Kim and his team before God and ask for God's hand to be upon them. Let's pray. Let's pray for our SP Ministries, pray for Noah's Ark and Pastor Carol and the teachers. Let's pray for SP Youth. Lift up Pastor Nate and his staff. And let's ask God to continually use the church to raise our kids in a godly way, that parents as well as the children really grow and give their kids to the Lord during this time of their lives. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's ask for God's hand to continue to be with us in the renovations. The 10th floor just got finished, and so they'll start meeting there coming this weekend. And now the second floor, we're still on project, on task for the dates. There's actually a site meeting today. Let's pray for all the logistics. Particularly, I think one of the biggest concerns right now is actually our chairs. And so we only received one sample back yet. There's kind of a backlog in China. And so, that seems to be the one item that's kind of up in the air that we need to make sure our chairs are built and made and ready when we open up the service in October. And so let's pray for K+K and for our contractors, Projects Asia. Pray for Bernice. Pray for Tracy, our project manager. Just continue to lift them up before the Lord that they would just work diligently. And there'll be no accidents, at the site. And it's God's hand we've found this whole project. And pray for Winston, who's doing all of our sound, right? Ask for God's hand. And as we ordered all the equipment, that they would arrive on time and that we would just really follow through the schedule and also through our budget. So let's just lift up. Lastly, let's lift up our house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon them. Let's pray for Bonham Road. This is actually Sandro and May's group, Old Conduit. Let's ask for God's blessing over them. Let's pray for Kennedy and PPHC is Pacific Place Happy Valley. They moved to Happy Valley. And so let's pray for God's hand upon the leaders and just the grace of God be upon the people as they gather together tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we just bless you, God. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the scriptures and just teaching us through this time, Lord. And help us, God, as Lord, we are hungry for signs and wonders, Lord God. But Lord, help us not to be enamored by them, Lord. And help us be enamored by the one who brings them, God. And the purpose behind of when you do your works in our lives, God, that we would lift up Jesus in all things. And so would you speak to us, God? Would you continue to lead us, guide us, Lord, and help us to continually walk in humility, God, Lord, according to your ways, Father. We thank you. Watch over us the rest of this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.